Hello and welcome to Mellow Pod from the team behind Often Heard. My name is Gary.
My name is Mark.
And my name is Alex.
Welcome back, Mark.
Oh, hey.
You skipped Heat 3 because you were busy. Yeah.
Busy.
And that was the wrong decision, basically. We decided.
We were just saying that I missed the good week.
I'm afraid so.
Yeah. Heat 1 and 2, very meh, all fest. Heat 3, wow fest. Heat 4, all right fest.
Yeah, and you see, Heat 3 is normally, in previous years, where it's kind of gone down a little bit. The viewership normally gets a bit lower before you hit the bounce and it goes back up again. So Heat 3 traditionally has not been fantastic. You know, we're kind of treading water before we go through the big finish on Heat 4. But obviously that is not happening this time because we've got a Heat 5. Yeah. So let's dig into Heat 4 then and see how Melodifestivalen in Eskilstuna panned out. So obviously for those who coming new to this, if you are new to this, why are you jumping in at Heat 4? You need to go back to Heat 1. But just in case you're listening to this randomly, Melodifestivalen is the show to pick Sweden's song for the Eurovision Song Contest. Right, shall we start with a recap? I think we should, shouldn't we?
Yes, yeah.
It's going to be quick. It would be helpful if I actually have it queued up ready, wouldn't it? And actually have the volume up. Not editing this out, keeping it in.
Okay. Reset. No.
Song number one, Albin Tingwall. Done getting over you. Mia Larsson, 30 kilometers an hour. Daughter, it's not easy to write a love song. Scarlett, Circus X. Lesser Stefans, En Song en Sommeren. And Danny Saucedo, Happy That You Found Me. Well, that very brief.
Very brief.
Right, so starting off with Albin Tingwall, done getting over you. Now, Alvin, this is his first time doing Melfest. He used to be a tennis player, apparently, until he decided to go and compete in Swedish Idol in 2022, and he was runner-up then.
Okay.
So this song is done getting over you. Kick us off then, Mark. Are you getting over this?
Okay. I do make notes when I watch this.
Oh, good.
Sometimes I watch it sober. Sometimes I watch it after having had a couple of adult beverages. Last night it was sober, so I've actually got quite a few coherent notes. So... first thing I'm going to say, I thought his staging was fantastic. I really liked the colours. I really liked the lights, the effects that he had on the screens behind him. Brilliant. Chef's kiss there. I thought it was really good, really bright, really colourful. I actually thought it was a pretty decent song. Mm-hmm. It gave me shades of Aha a little bit, some bits of it.
Okay, yeah.
I did think sometimes a few bits vocally... he wasn't as strong as perhaps he would have wanted to be. But, you know, there was a key change. You know,
there
we are a sucker for a key change.
We are, definitely.
And I did like the bit in the chorus with the, where he goes, the you-ooh-ooh-ooh-ooh. Because I think that's quite a good hook to get people into it. So overall, you know, not a bad effort. He's very distinctive looking, isn't he?
With the kind of curly hair.
Yeah.
I think it's a perm. Perms are in now, apparently. Perms for men.
They are in, yeah.
Oh, it's the end thing.
Maybe. But yeah, it's definitely got a style, sorry. Yeah. No.
Alex.
I mean, I've got to agree with Mark on a lot of this. I thought the staging was really good. I thought his outfit... I thought the outfit was a bit of a choice, but, you know, it was a catchy song. I thought the staging of it was pretty good. I would think it's, for a song like this, I would have expected him to come out wearing something a bit more, I don't know, colourful.
Flamboyant. I mean, it was a leather waistcoat thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Which did not fit with the rest of what he was wearing.
Yes, it was simple. I mean, you both say that you quite like the staging. I thought the staging, compared to a lot of what we've seen on the Malfest stage, was actually quite stripped back. Yes, he had some nice graphics. He had a couple of dancers bouncing around, but he himself was not throwing himself about a lot. It was some fairly simple, fairly static moves. He wasn't going far. I wondered if that was a case of, I want to be able to sing this properly, rather than throwing myself around and being out of breath kind of situation, which you can have, can't you, when you want to go all in on your choreo.
Yeah.
Although that being said, the choreo worked really well with the staging. I like the little bit where he and the dancers all sort of like slid their foot back in and there was like the trail of colour that followed behind them. I thought that was a neat bit of timing.
It's not a bad
and good pop, use of the staging.
Not a bad pop song, although I do question the lyrics. I don't think this is a healthy relationship he's in. He's talking about he's been in it 201 days, and this person is stone cold hearted. And I'm like, walk away then. Walk away. Why are you begging to come back? Although I guess it's done getting over you, so he's kind of on that journey of, you know what, I'm better off without you, I think.
Yeah.
Not a wow for me. It was an okay listen. Yeah. Pleasant in the background.
I can't honestly say it was a wow listen. I thought it was a decent enough entry for a first entry into Malfest. I thought, yeah, it's all right.
Okay. Song number two then. Leah Larson, 30 kilometres an hour. Another debutant. I'll kick off with this one. Certain parts of it remind me of Lipstick by Jedward. That kind of, there was that bit about it. It's another one of those kind of, it's almost like a sea shanty, which was a shanty song that we have seen before. But we don't often see female soloists doing it. Or, you know, it's the kind of Samir and Victor type, you know, male duos that we have seen doing this kind of song. It's also, I think, part of the EPA Epidunk genre that's kind of risen in popularity over the last couple of years.
A bit like Broken Snusk.
Yes. The week. Which somebody has described as rural hyperpop.
Okay.
It's something to do with EPA being a tractor manufacturer, I think. You can, because it's a tractor, you can ride it when you're like 16 or something. You don't have to have a full license.
Okay.
You can drive it when you're younger, and young farmers, basically. And that kind of ties into this song being 30 kilometres an hour, because that is the speed limit of a tractor.
Okay, interesting.
That's the origin.
I suppose our equivalent would be like JCB pop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My brother works for JCB. I've now got visions of him riding JCBs, singing pop songs.
Yeah, you need to get into some Epidunk. You need to pass on some playlists to him. But in terms of the song itself, yeah, it's a bit of... It's all right. It's one of those get your glow sticks out.
Yeah.
But it's not a genre that I'm rushing to listen to again, to be honest. What did you think, Alex? No.
I liked it. I thought the colour choices were really complementary of each other. I thought the song was really catchy. She obviously seemed like she had some decent energy to go with the song. No, I liked it.
Fair enough, Mark.
I will say this, though. One of our friends who was watching it commented a bit on Leah's jumpsuit. He said that instead of the like the weird like flower sparkles that she has on it. She should have gone with like racing stripes. Like if anyone out here watches Drag Race UK,
oh, yeah,
remembers from season 2, Lawrence Chaney, who won, had this homage to RuPaul's like opening credits look, where it was purple with the big like black and white racing stripes. That was his kind of go-to, his reference.
It would have fitted with the song as well, that would. With the, you know, the speed and the driving kind of like whole theme that was running through the song.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I did quite like the orange suits that the backing dancers were wearing. I thought, well, it's quite nice. It's not the kind of thing you'd wear out every day.
No.
But it's a nice colour. It's not a colour you see often in a suit.
No.
No.
But you know what? I don't think it was necessarily a great song, but I found myself really liking it. I think mainly because of the amount of energy that it had. And I really liked when she was singing the chorus, when Lee was singing about 30 km/h, I liked how she was, obviously, it was sung in Swedish, and she was saying, KMO, KMO, and I was like, I can sing in Swedish along to that.
But, and she's took, the translation is her heart's beating at 30 kilometres an hour. Is that fast or slow? I don't get it. Is she like, I'm just chilling, I'm at rest? Because we wouldn't really consider 30 kilometres an hour to be fast.
No, it's about, what, 22 miles an hour, 23 maybe?
So is it the contrast between the beat going boom, 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 and she's like, no, I'm chilling, I'm fine.
or is the beat the boom, 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 how her heart's going as well?
Mm. Well, then she needs to crank it up to more than 30. Oh, by the
60
way,
km/h.
Can we talk about, just very briefly, did you notice the woman, she's on screen now, we're looking, in the huge glasses and the green sparkly jacket, who just keeps on touching up the contestants? At the moment, you're going to see, she's going to place her hand. Look, she's got a hand on Dotter's stomach right now.
Oh,
and
yes.
She's there for the other artists as well beforehand. And she's kind of holding their hands and going, you can do this. You're going to be great. Just enjoy the moment. And I'm like, who are you?
She is their well-being advisor.
Is that it? It's like, just centering you. Just, you know.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Cleansing your aura, ready for the task ahead.
That's exactly
kind of
what
thing.
She's doing.
It's just, yeah, I thought at first, you know, she was like supporting the first artist and she was a member of his team or something. But then when she's appearing with the other artists and then she's putting her hands on them and stuff, I'm like, oh, okay. You're part of the Melfest backstage team then. You're not tied to a particular artist. I didn't realise that, you know, in the 30 seconds before you take the stage, you need somebody just to go, now deep breaths, you're going to be great, just enjoy this.
Your hype.
Enjoy the ride.
Your hype person.
Yeah. Okay, let's crack on to song number 3 then, which is Dotter, It's Not Easy to Write You a Love Song. Now, this is not the first time we've seen Dotter. She is a veteran by this point at Melfest. Came second with Bulletproof in 2020, fourth with Little Tot in 2021. So high expectations really from her because she's been so popular in the past. There is that pressure. I will say that she was not particularly well this weekend. Apparently she did not do the Friday night press conference because her voice was going and she needed to rest ready for the final on the Saturday night. So maybe just maybe before we comment that maybe that will factor in. To some of it. What did you think, Alex?
I mean, based on the initial looks, I think she should have called it It's Not Easy to Do a Loreen Impression.
Oh, I had that down as one of my notes.
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't that what it was giving? With the, like, moth-eaten clothes and the long hair and the bare feet. Was that not giving Loreen energy?
And the writhing horizontally as well. I know it was a piano this time rather than a flat screen TV. But
sandwich press.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like it's a bad song. Problem I'm starting to have a bit with Daughter is, from what I'm seeing from Bulletproof, then to Little Tart, now to this, is that we don't really know who she is as an artist because she's done so many different things. This is completely different from what she's done the last couple of times.
Mm.
And both of those were different from each other. She doesn't have... I don't think she has, like, set style or, like, energy or aesthetic.
Mm.
And, you know, while for some people, like for some stars who have fully developed themselves, that works great. But when, you know, not mean to say anything negative about male first artists, because there have been some great ones. But the ones that stick with you are the ones that have that style and that very specific way of going, okay, this is definitely this person. Like, you can pick out how some of the other winners, like Loreen, for instance, ABBA, or even some of the ones you haven't won yet. People like Cassiopeia, or who else can I think of? Or like Marcus and Martinez, they've got a specific look and a specific aesthetic, and they make it work.
So do you think it's almost... is it almost establish your brand and then you can deviate and experiment?
Yeah. Like, I think the problem is that she's trying so many different ideas to see what works. Whereas if she stuck with a style and an aesthetic and really, really developed it, she could take the good vocals that she has and do really, really well in this competition.
She is an excellent vocalist. Can't fault her for that. And you know, if that was a performance where she was ill, and I didn't know that till after I'd seen it, I thought she did very, very well.
I mean, vocally, there was absolutely nothing wrong with it at all. Like you've just said, I wouldn't have known she was ill. It was a really well performed song, but yeah, there was just something about it. I really, really wanted to like it because I've liked Daughter, the two other songs, but it didn't grab me. I don't think it's as good as her other two songs.
Yeah, I think I would agree that it's my least favourite of the three that she's done so far, and even then, the other two weren't immediate likes for me. They took time to kind of grow on me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think she's winning with this one, unfortunately. There was high expectations based on her name, but...
Yeah.
There are stronger songs that we've seen so far, I think. So, I think good chance of a top five, maybe.
Yeah, I think top five, defo.
Sure, if she continues the trend. This is us saying this without seeing the final six songs, obviously.
There could be
some stuff that's going to, you know, blow our socks off. Right, shall we move on to song number four then?
Yes, yeah.
Scarlet, Circus X, and the duo is Scarlet and Thirsty, is what they're called. So I don't know why the band's only named after one of them. But there we go. So another debuting act, and apparently Spooky is the in thing this year. Go on then, Mark, what did you reckon?
When they first came on and I saw the pre-performance interview and things like that, I was like, oh, this is just going to be a gimmick. This is just going to be them, like, being kind of like, oh, we're goths. Oh, we're scary. Grr. But then the song kicked in and I was like, this is a great beat. I love this beat. I really like this beat. And then they started singing. I was like, oh, okay, they're not bad. Oh, yeah, okay. And I found myself kind of like going, do you know what? Actually, this is catchy. Their looks will stick with you. because you'll go, oh, they're the ones that look like they're evil. They're the ones that look like they're goths. They're wearing loads of makeup. But the only thing I will say is I think they need to dial up the makeup even further. And the spooky outfits.
Yeah, that's a bit how I felt about it. For me, I felt the outfits were a little bit like a bit sort of like basic white girl Halloween outfits. It was very like, oh, I'm going to paint a skull on my face and I'm going to wear something black and a little bit sexy and this is my Halloween costume. No, you know how I feel about the more alternative Eurovision entries, so you know that this is one that I was already going to love, like, from the get-go.
Yeah.
But I think they could have gone... They could have done so much more with it. They could have gone, like, the whole, like, 9 yards and just gone, like, real over the top with it, and it would have just been like, oh my gosh, wow.
I think they were, I noticed in the lyrics that they didn't say blood is dripping down the walls. They said red is dripping down the wall. So that's right. The kind of that kind of to me says it. Apparently, this is a bit different to some of the stuff that they do. They have perhaps dialed it back, knowing right. that Melfest has a big family audience. There's a lot of kids in that arena every week, so maybe it's not quite representative of their normal output. I've not listened to any of it, to be honest, so I can't really say for sure. It's kind of just what I've read. But I thought it was a good song. That it's got enough pop in it to make me like it. And I did like some of the musical motifs that they have, you know, as part of the chorus section. I love the creepy masks on the dancers, the kind of beaks masks that they've got were excellent. You know, they've got that swing, they've got the red balloon bit, you know, it's a bit it, that kind of thing.
So,
you can definitely see what they're going for sure.
Yeah, there's a lot to like in it. And I like the whole, circus thing. Maybe, do they need to lean more into the circus thing?
Maybe.
I think they could take it up a notch or two. I get them wanting to appeal to a family audience. Yeah, that's fair enough. And, you know, it is a competition at the end of the day. You are wanting to try to appeal to as many people as possible, aren't you? I think they could just dial it up a little bit more. Just a notch. And I really like their choreo that they did at the end. But we all agreed last night that they needed to do a bit more of that earlier in the song as well. Give us a bit of choreo that we can follow.
Oh, okay. So you need a little bit of a dance.
Yeah.
Song number 5. Lasse Stefans in Song on Sommeren, a song about summer. Is basically what it is.
Yeah.
This isn't the first time they've competed. They did it in 2011, and I have absolutely no memory at all of them doing so.
Well, that was a while ago now, Gary, so that's fine.
True, you know, and you know, my Melfest memory is normally quite good, but it's not flawless. There was a hell of a lot I've forgotten over the years because I just don't like it, so it doesn't get logged for future reference.
It doesn't transfer into your long-term schema, Gary. That's the current jargon.
I mean, so come on then, Alex. I mean, I feel this will be maybe a brief discussion about this song, but we can try. What did you think, Alex?
Oh.
I mean, that's fine if you want to stop there.
I mean, ugh. I'm just...
Shall I read you my notes?
Go on.
My notes? No. Oh, look, no. In all seriousness, okay, let's try and be professional. I absolutely love that SVT give us a broad range of musical styles and genres and artists of all different ages and backgrounds, personalities, and so on and so forth. It is great. I love it for that. You know, without that, I would never have discovered the Swedish obsession with Latin pop, which I am here for. But when you see all those other songs around this one, you know straight away that they are here to make up the numbers and they are just there for cannon fodder.
That was my exact quote, cannon fodder.
You know exactly. They are just there to make up the numbers.
To provide and variety, yes, you're right.
Yeah, that's all they're there for. Because you know that in all they've got Bob Hope of getting through, basically.
You know what, you say that, but then I sat watching Gunilla last week. And I was like, oh my, oh God, yes, this is number six, it's not going through. And it's, you know, it's number 10 in the Swedish charts this week, Gunilla is.
Yeah.
She's more popular than I thought.
Yeah, but I mean, that was as much of a kind of like, almost like novelty song as it was. She is very well known. Wasn't she on like Swedish Housewives or something? Have I made that up?
Yeah, and she's one of these love to hate figures, apparently.
Yeah, and the song, yeah, it was a bit novelty. It wasn't very well sung, but it was catchy and it was more modern, wasn't it? Than what La Sister fans was.
Yeah, I mean, it's something for the 75 plus to vote for.
Yeah.
Something for the oldies.
It's variety, and we need the variety. Otherwise, you would get all the same sort of songs all the time.
Well, we need a toilet break, basically.
Well, yeah, you've got to go songs. And get something. I mean, you know, if that was the final, that'd be the buffet break, wouldn't it?
It would. Fill your plate up again. Okay, song number six then. Danny Saucedo, Happy That You Found Me. It's his fifth time doing this.
Is he always the bridesmaid, never the bride as well, it feels like?
Yeah, I mean, he's got two silvers and a bronze. So he came second in 2011 and 2012. So that was in the club and amazing. He has never not qualified for the final, basically. For me, this one starts like a step song with the piano. And I'm like,
we're
expecting Claire to get out and wanted your love. I like this. I do. I like the staging on this with his Castrovalva style arches.
Oh, now I said Warrior's Gate style arches.
Doctor Who circa 80 to 82-ish, 81-ish style arches. And with different textures that were projected on it. Shades of Yellow Brick Road by Elton John. In some parts, it kind of has that similar structure as well to Amazing, where you get the big build up to the chorus, but then a lot of songs go for that kind of thing. Probably my favorite of the night. He delivers, he's a good singer, he's a good performer, he's very confident, he's an old pro at doing this now. You know, he's been doing, I think his first appearance was like 2009 2010-ish. So he's been doing it a long while.
I think his was the best vocal of the night. I thought he sung it exceptionally well, like really, really well. I was really impressed with his vocals. It's interesting that you said about Steps and about Yellow Brick Road and things like that. The kind of like the bit where he was ooing gave me echoes of Verona.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I like the kind of like the geometric patterns in his staging as well. The sets seemed elaborate, but were actually, I think, quite simple, really, weren't they? Just these polystyrene arches with things projected onto them. But it worked.
Yes, I think it was very effective.
And I just thought it was a good song, well sung, well staged, and for me as well, best of the night.
Yep. Alex, what about you?
I mean, Yeah, there's no arguing with that, whether you are a fan of Danny Saucedo or not. You know, it was well sung. I really liked the staging on this one. I wasn't massively a fan of his outfit, but I know that's not everything. At the end of the day, it was a really good performance, so well done.
Yeah.
I liked how somebody was holding up a sign in the audience that said, Daddy Danny.
He's 37 now.
Yeah, he's definitely approaching daddy territory. I mean, he's a good looking man.
Cannot take you anywhere, Mark.
That never hurts.
Cannot take you anywhere.
Right, so let's have a look at results then, because frankly, there's nothing worth talking about the interval act.
We skipped.
So, director finale, so top of the leaderboard in the first round of voting, was Danny Saucedo, which surprised me, to be honest. I wasn't sure if he was strong enough to get top at that point. I thought Dotter was going to be the favourite.
Yeah, I always thought it was going to be one of those two, if I'm perfectly honest, based on the songs and the performances. Those two were, I think, were the best song and the most mainstream out of all the songs.
Mm. So looking at the other results then, quite interesting, actually. It made for an exciting voting sequence, I thought.
Yes, obviously, they have an algorithm, don't they, to ramp up the drama?
Yes, they know the best way of delivering it. Yes, you're right.
And at one point, I was like, oh my word, Dotter isn't going to automatically qualify.
Yeah, it feels. Somebody commented on social media to say it seems very odd that the winner of the televote, and which was a song about summer. The one with Lasse Stefans.
Lasse Stefans, yeah.
Yeah, actually came last. So they got a 12 and they won him on the televote, but that didn't do them any good. They came last.
No.
But I know a lot of people say, well, the televote is mainly probably older people who aren't using the app, don't have a smartphone, so or want to use it because you get to vote for Radio Yelp and you know, if you use the right number, you can donate to charity. So that's a way of driving some votes as well. But I was very surprised, actually, yes, that it turned out that he got the 12. You could see it was broadly, you know, most age groups seem to vote a similar way. You've got the 3 to 9 year olds went for 30 kilometres an hour, Leah Larson. And I wonder if that's just because it was bright, it was colourful. It's maybe that's a genre that's more popular for that age group.
Maybe.
Don't know.
I mean, maybe Epidunk is the future for Swedish pop.
Could be. Pretty much everybody else seems to be going for Dotter. 12s in the 10 to 15, 16 to 29, 45 to 59s, and 60 to 74. So she had quite a broad appeal, really.
There was she did.
30 to 44 went for Circus X, though, as the top.
That's an interesting one, isn't it?
Yeah, very strange. So basically, that means when all the scores came in, Dotter does go through to the final, which we didn't think was going to happen at one point, as you said.
Yeah.
Circus X came fourth, so goes second chance. And then, surprise, and I honestly didn't think you would get it, but Albin, done getting over you, came third. And is also going through to second chance.
I was surprised about that. Like I say, I think I can see why he did get through, because I think, as we said, he's fairly mainstreamish. But I was kind of hoping for Leah, if I'm perfectly honest.
Yeah. So, well, that's Heat 4 done. Have we seen a winner there, do we think?
Ooh.
No, I don't think so.
Not really.
No.
I think compared to some of the other ones we've seen go to the final, I think you know, I think there's probably ones I think will do better.
Yeah. I still don't think any of those can beat Jacqueline or Cassiopeia from last week.
Mm. Well, we have one more week to go, so you never know.
And we've got Marcus and Martinez next week and Medina.
Yeah. So there's some big hitters there.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's Heat 4 done and dusted. And normally we would know all the songs by this point, but we don't. We have a Heat 5. So join us next time for another 6 songs. Okay. Thank you for listening. Until next time, it's goodbye from me.
It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.